Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Long ago, people bought popcorn and roasted peanuts from vendors working out of a horse-drawn wagon built specifically for the task. The wagon that once sat on the Knoxville Square has now been restored and will soon be coming to an event close to you. Let's go in depth with Dan Carlson and Dave and Janet Ritchie with the Marion County Historical Society. Well, this is a pretty amazing effort by the Marion County Historical Society, this popcorn wagon. Can you tell us about it, Dan?
It's a Dunbar popcorn and peanut roasting wagon manufactured by the Dunbar Company from Chicago back about the 1910 to 1917 era. That company is still in business, but in a much different way. It's not family-owned, and they produce popcorn popping equipment for commercial theaters and things. And the other big popcorn popping outfit that produced wagons like this was called Creeders, and they're still in business as far as making equipment for theaters, movie theaters.
Well, and this is a wagon that was pulled by horses. It's property of the Marion County Historical Society. And how long have you had it, Janet?
Well, Bob, I've been in the Historical Society 30 plus years, and it was there when I went. So I can't tell you when they acquired it prior to that.
And it was actually used to occupy a space on the square.
Yes. It sat on the corner up where Tasso's is today, either right in front of Tasso's or just around the corner to the west. And a Mr. Pete Atkinson would bring it in from La Villa and park it. And when we had it up there the other night for RVTV, there was two or three of the young men come along and said, oh, I remember going up and buying popcorn. And he was always on the corner, one side or the other of the square.
So some of the older guys, so how long did the guy do it?
You know, that I don't know for sure either, just how long. Then later they said he acquired an old Model A pickup and had a cooler on the back, and he sold ice cream out of that. So I don't know whether the wagon got too fragile to go back and forth and they parked it, or whether he updated and went with the ice cream. So it had to have been quite a few years ago, at least.
Quite a few meaning what?
I don't remember it. And one of the gentlemen that was talking about it was younger than I am, and the other two were older. So they were kids. The one, Steve Hatch was one of them. Grandpa had the May store. And he said he would go up and buy popcorn. He could run up the street.
So were we talking the 1950s?
I'm thinking 50s, 40s, 50s, somewhere along in there that it's set up there. But I honestly don't remember it.
Well, and it's a beautiful, beautiful wagon. People that came to RVTV saw it. It's, I don't know, it's old wagon wheels. It was pulled by horses, right, Dan?
Correct. It's a wagon carriage understructure with four spoke wheels with steel rims, and much of it, if not all of it, is made from white oak and beveled glass, and some of the glass is mirrored that we have right now. The pieces of glass that have words imprinted into them look like a frosted glass, but it's actually called glue chipped glass, which is a special process of actually chipping the glass and creating letters of numbers in the surface.
Wow.
And that process has been around a long time. But the system's fueled by white gas that creates
the popper.
The popper and
the roaster. Are
and
there
the
two
roaster.
Things?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. There's a water tank on here to create steam. It's heated by a boiler burner. And then there's two other burners that create heat for the poppers and the peanut roaster. And the steam that was created was also used to drive a small steam engine, very small steam engine that created mechanical force and drove the poppers and drove the peanut roaster, and also had enough steam for a little whistle to go off.
And so do these still work?
No, they don't.
No.
Not operational.
So that would take some more investment,
it
work,
would.
And research.
Yes, it would, yeah.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the popcorn and peanut wagon with Dan Carlson and Dave and Janet Ritchie. And peanut roasting, we don't think about peanuts roasting anymore. We buy them from bags, you know, we buy them in little bags or sacks or something.
It's all... I assume at that time peanuts were not roasted. They were bought unroasted. And they roasted them under heat and then kept them warm. They liked them warm. The ones that we sold on Wednesday for RVTV, people really liked them. They ate them, and they thought they were quite good warm like that.
Well, and this is the original painting. I see you haven't... Well, or is this this is this glass work that you were telling me?
Yes, yes,
right?
It is.
Where it says peanuts, where it says buttered popcorn and roasted peanuts, 5 cents, and in an old font. That's really cool old font.
Yes, and all the research that I've done on the Internet says that popcorn and peanuts were selling for a nickel a bag at that time in the teens and 20s.
Okay, so this probably went all the way back to from the 50s all the way back into the teens and 20s, you think?
Yeah, sure.
And all in Knoxville, you think? Or do we know any more about that?
As far as we know, it was in Knoxville.
And we've got a nice little door to get in. This fellow must have been, or people back then were a little bit smaller or something. It's not a big door, is it?
No. It's not very big, just enough to get in and out and work inside. Leave it open for ventilation if you needed to.
And the roof is, what's the roof that looks metal?
It's out of sheet metal. It's out of steel, light gauge steel, and the edging on it, the railing on it, is brass. Creates a drip edge, so you don't have to get wet when you're standing underneath it.
Well, and at RVTV the other night, Dan, you had a window open. And you leaned out of the window to pass things to people. Is that how it worked? I also see a ledge here on the back door that maybe they sold
that
stuff.
That door has a window glass that will slide down. I don't think it's operational now, but it was meant to be lowered. Whether you were to bring supplies in without opening the door or for just ventilation, we don't know.
You have hooks inside there to hold the windows open. See the hooks hanging from the ceiling? You can raise the windows up and hook them on those hooks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so it swings inside. All right. And the fans. Think there are original fans in there?
No. I bought those at Walmart.
Now, on this side, it says, fresh peanuts, 5 cents, popcorn. Popcorn King. What's Popcorn King? Is that what the wagon was called?
I'm not sure of that. I know from research in other states, they have had some of these wagons restored. And up in Minnesota or Wisconsin, they've named the coach, the wagon, a certain name. They gave it a name, like you would a car or a bus or a ship or an airplane.
So do you think the kids said, let's go over to the Popcorn King, or what do you think they said?
That could have said something like that. Yeah, I'm sure this was a person's livelihood, and they stayed there on a street corner or moved around, and that was how they made money.
Those, the old popcorn poppers, those are pretty cool. They're like aerodynamic. It's very, very interesting. And you turn them by hand? Is that how it worked?
You could turn them by hand, or they're driven by the steam engine. Right.
Cool.
It's interesting that if you look at that design, the appearance of that, they're still making some poppers like that these days. The story behind this, the Dunbar version of the popcorn popper, is that Mr. Dunbar, who used to work for Crater's Popcorn Company before 1900, he was a machinist, and he came up with a method to dry air pop popcorn. And the Crater's method was that it was cooked in oil or butter or lard. So they disagreed on the method, and he left the company and created another company himself, Dunbar Company. And so his method of popping popcorn was to dry air pop it and then coat it with butter. Fundamental difference, but each had its own way of doing it.
And so there's a place to display product in here? So you'd put the bags of popcorn here or peanuts in this display, or what was that for?
You could do that. This is the peanut roaster here, and you would load it up with peanuts and heat them up, and then you could dump them out into a pan or possibly put them in this chamber here.
Okay. So maybe that was for there'd be roasted peanuts all
could
in
be,
there?
Could be, yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of roasted peanuts.
Well, the large peanut roaster, the research that I've done is that the large roaster would hold 22 pounds of peanuts if it were full.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the popcorn and peanut wagon with Dan Carlson and Dave and Janet Ritchie. And Janet, what do we know about the gentleman that ran this wagon?
I don't know a whole lot on him, Bob, other than he lived at La Villa. He was a black man. Pete Atkinson, we need to do some researching. It would be interesting to know a little bit more about him. I know there's a gentleman in La Villa that is friends of ours that said, oh, yes, I remember him. And he would also have his popcorn in La Villa part of the time. So, but other than other things, we've never found it. We just need to do a little work and find out some more on him, I guess.
Well, I'm guessing he didn't pull this wagon home every night.
I would hope not. I'm guessing not either. I've got a feeling maybe he brought it up and it stayed all week or it was on the weekend. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
So we need some people that were around at that time
yes.
to come forward and speak
yes.
to you all about
if
this.
If there's anybody could tell us, it would sure help a lot. And if we can find any pictures of previously what it looked like, it would be a great help to us. We've kind of looked through the newspapers and things. So we haven't found any articles even in the paper, which you would have thought maybe there'd have been something in the old papers, but we haven't located anything, so...
Was this a common thing? Were there other vendors on the square with stands back then? Do you know?
I'm not aware of any history of that right now.
I don't know either. I'm not sure whether there was others there and whether it was just, you know, Saturday night everybody brought their milk and their eggs to town. They bought groceries, whether it was only that time. I really don't know. Or whether there were other, like you said, vendors who would come in and peddle their products.
Do we know how many of these Dunbar machines were made across the country?
Don't have an idea right now, but the research that I've done on the Internet, there are ones that have been restored, and they seem like they're all painted different colors, primarily red and yellow with black trim. And
sort of like a circus wagon.
Circus colors would be a good way of describing it. A lot of them are also clear varnished. The oak shows up real nice when it's clear varnished, so... They're either all painted or they're a combination of oak, varnish, and paint. Any which way you do it, they look really nice.
Now, this is going to be a common scene, I suspect, around the area, different events. When's the next time people can see it and stop by and talk to you all?
Hopefully we're going to have it in the homecoming parade. I have talked to the high school. I suggested it to them. They were very enthused. Larissa with the chamber has said, oh, can you get it up on the square the night we do Living Windows? And I told her, unless weather was terribly bad, we don't want to put it out if it's raining or really snowing hard on it to ruin it in any effect, or extremely windy. I'm not sure. It's fragile. It's not sturdy enough to take a windstorm or anything. But we told her we'd try and work with her and do things that way. Get it out and let people know that we do have it. I'm sure we'll have it for our Festival of Trees out at the county park, which is in the weekend after Living Windows, and hopefully we can have it outside and have popcorn and peanuts for sale.
Warm. On a cold night.
On a cold one, right.
Okay, and so, but you can't just drive it now, can you? If it's so fragile, you can't hook a horse up to it?
No.
No, we're hauling it on a flatbed trailer at this time, and that's probably how we'll do it from now on. We would probably have to rework the wagon wheels and the hubs and the undercarriage a little bit to make them sturdy enough to roll around town on their own.
That would be so cool.
It would be. Yes, it would be.
It would be fun if we could find people to help us to fix it, to do that. We've talked it needs a new roof, or this one repaired. We're not sure whether we'd have to have a new one completely made or what. But, yeah, it would make it sturdier and...
Yeah, so if there's any craftsmen out there in Marion County that have worked on wagon wheels and tin roofs and any glass work, come forward. We'd like to talk to you.
Well, the Marion County Historical Society does great things, and here's yet one more. And you're always looking for people that are interested in history to lend a hand, become members. How do they get a hold of you, Janet?
They can contact myself, and my phone number is 842-4895 to become members. They can contact Dan. Anyone that's a member will gladly get them signed up for membership. It's $15 a year for individuals, and we have our programs through the year. They're quite interesting, too, along with our meetings. And we'll get you busy. We'll find you a job. There's never a job too big or too small that we can't fit somebody to that job.
Well, and one of the best ways for people to come and get to know you is to show up at one of your monthly meetings. When are those again?
The third Monday of the month is our general membership meeting up at the Methodist Activity Center. And this one, September, will be our potluck. You'd want to be there by 6 for potluck. And it would be a good time to visit, followed with a program and a short business meeting then. So we could get you signed up and get everybody to understand what we're working toward. And our next big thing will be our Festival of Trees that we'll start on. So,
also, exciting new movement.
Yes. We've always got something going on.
Thanks to Dan Carlson and Dave and Janet Ritchie for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.